Tell this, guys, if you want to up there. 1 Kings chapter number 18. Our cameraman's singing about the fire. We'll talk about the God who answers by fire. And I've been studying this all afternoon for hours and hope I can get this out. You preachers know what I mean, like God put it in. Been hung up on Elijah. Preached on this and morning and night services down at our prayer retreat last week, and I never get to this one in particular, but I want to tonight. God settled this thing down, and I told the Lord, you know, I'd be glad just wait and preach this some other time, but this is a service, it's just preaching time, it's one of them. Appreciate these ladies being over here. I apologize that they're segregated. I thought the Emancipation Proclamation had taken place. Now, I'm glad they're here. Praise the Lord. Amen. This old-time religion makes you love everybody. Amen. This old-time salvation gets you in trouble. You about give everything you got away. You have to forgive everybody. God won't let you hold grudges. He makes you sweet. When he's on you, he does. 1 Kings 18, verse number 17. If you want to stand, you can. Verse 17. Came to pass when Ahab saw Elijah, Ahab said unto him, Art thou he that troubleth Israel? He answered, I have not troubled Israel, but thou, thy father's house, and that ye forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and thou hast followed Balaam. Now therefore send and gather to me all Israel unto Mount Carmel, and the prophets of Baal 450, and the prophets of the groves 400, which eat at Jezebel's table. So Ahab sent unto all the children of Israel and gathered the prophets together unto Mount Carmel. Some of you fellas in here that study this a lot, I want you to give me some insight on this. He called here for 450 prophets of Baal and 400 prophets of the groves. And there's not one verse that says the 400 prophets of the groves ever showed up. Always refers to the 450 prophets of Baal, never those other ones. There are the groves, that's Ashtaroth. You've got the female and the male deity here, and the female part of it is Ashtaroth, the prophets of the groves. Jezebel wouldn't let them go. She is afraid something bad might happen up there, and that crowd got showed up. She didn't want her women. That's these women. That's women prophetess right here. That's what they say. You got these men going up there, and Jezebel keeps these behind, and evidently they don't go. Been a blessed event and went, that all got killed. That's what they needed. Amen. God and Elijah got in a killing mood that day, and they needed to be there. Finish that whole crowd off. You say, well, where's mercy? They don't deserve to live. False prophets supposed to be killed. In the law of Moses now, under the law of Moses, nation of Israel, we're not the nation of Israel. You don't do that now, of course. But back then, man prophesied something, it not come true, he's supposed to be stoned to death as a false prophet. But if you got up in those days, said you was a man of God, you better know what you said. Your life's on the line. That's right. But it's serious business now. Verse 21, Elijah came unto all the people and said, How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. Then said Elijah unto the people, I only remain a prophet of the Lord. But Baal's prophets are 450 men. See, he didn't include those other 400 here when he talked about the prophets of Baal. Verse 23, Let them therefore give us two bullocks. Let them choose one bullock for themselves, cut it in pieces, and lay it on wood, and put it on no fire under. I'll dress the other bullock, lay it on wood, and put no fire under. Here's the question. I'm not even going to preach on this. Why was there two bullocks? There's only one way to heaven. That's because that crowd can't touch Christ. They can't preach Christ. Only Elijah can. Christ is a sacrifice. That's the other way to heaven. That's Cain. Baal is the religion of Balaam and Cain. This bullock Elijah is going to, the fire is going to fall on is Christ. Fire can't fall on Baal's bullock. can only fall on God's sacrifice. Verse 24. Call ye on the name of your gods. I will call on the name of the Lord and the God that answereth by fire. Let him be God. And all the people answered and said, it is well spoken. You can be seated. So I'm interested in the God that answers by fire. Brother David Woods, pray for us, will you? Yes, Lord, we look to you now. God, we confess we're absolutely nothing. Totally depend on you. God, you put this on our heart. And God, it's some glorious truth. God, we can't preach it if you don't touch us. I pray you'll override the rebellion of the devil. Form as it were a vacuum over this place. God, put us in that vacuum tonight. Oh, God, put us under that umbrella protection, your covering. Let the Holy Ghost cover this place in your Shekinah glory. God, do it. Amen. If you were to study all the annals of history, you'd never find stories more interesting than the stories of the Bible. The devil is nothing but a counterfeit. And that's all Satan's ever been. It has been said that truth is stranger than fiction. And I believe that's so. I mean, when you look at the Bible, it's got to be so. Hey, nobody can make his stuff up. I mean, God does things in a way that it cannot be explained. It's got to be by the supernatural. And we serve a supernatural God. Now you've got graphically illustrated here in 1 Kings 18 of the great showdown of Elijah on Mount Carmel. Boy, everything in the Bible is given for significance and given to show us greater and deeper spiritual truths. But one of the most amazing, a double amazing fact of the Bible is how that all these truths are interwoven together to produce and never violate the types and the metaphors and the principles of God. That's why we know that God wrote this precious word of God. Now when you come here to 1 Kings 18, we see some of God's unfailing principles in his dealings with men. Some things that are sure, steadfast, and cannot ever be denied. We serve the God of the miraculous. That's the problem of our modern day churches. There's such little that's in them that can't be explained. We're to be the people of the supernatural. We're to be people of the miraculous. Our praise for God. Our faith in God. Our confidence in the Word of God. Our victory over the world and the flesh and the devil is to be supernatural in this world. How we see that God is moving here in the affairs of man. And these people of God, they illustrate to us many things that are forgotten in this hour. What's the problem in the nation of Israel? It's the same problem we've got today. It is apostasy. It's everywhere. The old time religion is almost gone. It's hard to find the glory and the power of God. Oh, when God comes in and loves on his people with the supernatural love of the Holy Ghost, that's only produced by the unity of the Spirit when we're in one mind and in one accord. How we see Israel as a nation has turned their back on God. They're divided. When Elijah goes to repair the altar, he doesn't build 10 stones representing the 10 tribes of northern Israel. He builds a 12-stone altar because the devil has divided the people of God. And so many of our churches are so divided. That's why there's such a lack of the power of God among us. The throne of Israel is occupied by God denier. It's occupied by almost the devil himself. What really put Ahab on the road to absolute ruin was the woman that he married. You'd be hard-pressed to find a more wicked woman in all the Bible than Jezebel. There's three names in the Bible you should never forget. One's Judas. I'm talking about Judas Iscariot. And one's Jezebel. God uses her as an example of false religion. And then the third J is the name of Jesus. And of course, we could never forget that name. But here is a high priestess of Baal. She's been raised in Zidon. Her father is Ethbaal, the king and a priest of Baal. He's raised this girl. She's full of hell and the devil. She's got a seduction. How that old Ahab melts in front of her. She's got such control over him. Before he tolerated God's religion, he tolerated the prophets of God. But this woman comes on the scene as she's tolerant of every religion. But the truth sounds like the liberals in America. And she outlaws God. She outlaws the prophets. She kills every prophet that she can get her hands on. And you know the result when that happens. In 1 Kings 18:4, Jezebel cut off the prophets of the Lord. She is against the truth. Now, what does Baal represent? First of all, Baal is known as the sun god. All false religions are a form of Baal worship. They believe that the source of life was from the sun. And the sun made crops grow. And the sun evaporated the moisture up in the clouds, caused it to rain. And the sun produces photosynthesis. And the sun is the source of life. In other words, they worship this world system. And what's in this world? The lust of the flesh and the lust of the eye. And the pride of life. So Baal is this sun god. And that's one of the big things that it represents. Now think about this for a minute. Even many Christians, professing Christians, live according to the dictates of Baal. They live for this world system. They live under the dictates of this world. Christ is not their Lord. Christ doesn't tell them how to live. Christ doesn't tell them where to go and what to do. They are practical atheists. They claim to believe in God. They claim to know Christ. But they see and no commitment to live the word of God and do the work of God in this world. So Baal worship is alive and well. In Mark 8:36, Christ is summing up Baal worship. What should it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? What can a man give in exchange for his soul? Why would any child of God miss out on what God's got for something that's going to pass away? Something that does not satisfy. In 1 John 2:15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. for all that's in the world. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of God, but of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Oh, that God could find us faithful and could depend on us in this world system. The only true God and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. Watch this. What happened in the nation of Israel? They lost the knowledge of God. They lost the prophet. They lost God's man. They lost the ways of God. We have produced a generation that knows nothing about the ways of God. They know nothing. I'm talking in general now about the deep things of God. They don't know anything about seeking God in prayer. They don't know nothing about the faith walk and the deep things that release the power of God on our life. And the reason they don't know, number one, they're not interested. Number two, they've not been taught. And number three, they've not seen it lived in the lives of those that say that they're saved. Now watch this. Here is a famine in the land. How long did this famine last? Well, here's another Bible trivia question. Yes, according to when you date it. Elijah, in the third year, at the end of the third year, prayed that God would send the rain. Well, the Bible says that the drought was 3.5 years. How do you explain that? It had already been 6 months of drought before Elijah ever announced to Elijah that it would not rain except according to his word. How do you explain that? How do you explain a man is going in the presence of Ahab? He walks right up to the royal palace. He knows that Jezebel has killed every prophet she can get her hands on. It's not rained in 6 months. And Elijah walks up to the palace of Pharaoh or of Ahab. And he says it's not going to rain, but according to my word. How do you explain that? Because the fire of God had fell on Elijah before it fell on Mount Carmel. That's the need of our, that the fire of God would fall upon us. Fire's mentioned 549 times in 506 verses. 549 times in 506 verses. I'm not going to get in all the ways in the typology of fire, but fire represents zeal. It represents the burden of the Lord. It represents God's word. What was Cameron singing about? What Jeremiah said, I'll not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name, but his word was in my heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones. I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay. What's he saying? There's a fire on the inside. A man says he's called to preach and he's condemned to sit on the pew. Ain't no more called than a bulldog. There's a fire that burns on the inside of a man.
man. He'll preach to the woods. He'll preach to an empty church. But he's got to get it out. There's a fire of zeal and a burden on the inside. And he's got to tell it. Boy, that fire purifies. That's what he done to Elijah. That fire consumes. Boy, you're looking at a man that the zeal of God hath eaten him up. Fire. It purifies. It breaks. It softens. It inflames. It warms. It illuminates. It gives hope. Boy, think about the value of fire. The value of a light in the distance. You're in the woods. And you're lost. And you see a light. Well, I'm talking about fire. I'm talking about people that's got the fire. People that are a light in this lost world. And point people in the right direction. Then fire fuses things together. It tests. It hardens. It moves. It ascends. I'll tell you why Elijah went up there to help. The fire moved him. You set somebody on fire, they ain't sitting still. Boy, they gonna be moving. That's what God's fire does. That's what Christ said. Tarry in Jerusalem. He then do with power from on high. Oh, how we need the fire. The fire of faith. That fire that move us in prayer. That fire that move us toward the Word of God. That fire that move us to the house of God. That fire that we got to tell somebody what God's done for us. Oh, the fire. That's what we got to have. The fire that fall upon us in this hour. Boy, this fire. Fire hardens, it hardened Elijah against sin. It illuminates the mind and the heart. The fire gave him hope. Boy, he saw the abundance of rain. Notice, as the Lord God of Israel before whom I stand. How can he stand in front of Ahab? Because he ain't standing in front of Ahab. He's standing in front of the Lord. I'll tell you one thing. You got Jesus holding your hand. You can charge hell the water pistol. Amen. Boy, he had that assurance down deep in his heart. There'll not be dew and there'll not be rain. But according to my word. Oh, God said, go. Show yourself to Ahab. And I'm going to send rain. That fire moved him again. They've been hunting him in all the surrounding nations. They want to get their hands on him and choke him down and take off his head and take his life from him. But Elijah was no more afraid of him than a bug crawling on the ground, because the fire had moved him and given him boldness in that hour. Take heed to yourselves, that your heart not be deceived, that you turn not aside and serve other gods and worship them, and then the Lord's wrath be kindled against you, and he shut up the heaven, that there be no rain, and the land yield not her fruit, lest you perish quickly from the good land which the Lord giveth you. Now, just let me say this right quick. Water in the Bible, more than any other symbol, is a type of the Word of God. God said to that crowd in Israel, go ahead and worship the sun. I'm going to give you all your belly can take. You're going to get sun every day. There'll be no clouds in the sky. It's going to beat down on you. It's going to burn you up in the summer. It's going to evaporate all of the rain in the land. How the water is going to be gone. The wells are going dry. And the fields are going to be parched. And the animals are going to perish for 3.5 years. God took out the rain. God took out the water. God took out the word of God. Can you imagine living in a nation where there's no word of God? They're all over this world where there's not one Christian in them, according to what people say. Hey, some of these Muslim nations, that if anybody saved in them, they're so hid far back in a closet you couldn't find them. Because they're dead meat, buddy, if they get found out. God withheld the rain. Brother David Woods, you know what's wrong with a lot of these bastard churches of our day? They ain't got no water. I tell you, they run off God. They're barren. They're dry. There's no water. They don't have God's man. They don't have somebody to preach this book in the power of the Holy Ghost. God called. God sent. God appointed. God anointed. Amos 8:11. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God. I'll send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread or a thirst for water, but the hearing or hearing the words of the Lord. Now, that's not our day. Tell me, where is it? People put no value on the word of God in our day. They come to church on Sunday morning, and their biggest worry is that we ain't going to get out till 12 o'clock. Lord God, if they thought that here, they'd never come. I'm talking about 12 after 1 or 12 after 2 or whenever. The hearing of the word of God, they shall run or wander. From sea to sea, from the north to the east, they shall run to and fro to seek the word of the Lord and shall not find it. Well, if you want a barren life, if you want a life of misery, if you want a life that's parched, that'll bear no fruit and bring death and danger and destruction, then turn your back on God. Get out from under the water. Get where it's dry. Get where it's parched. Get where the pastor is Bozo the Clown. And just trying to go along. To get along. To draw a paycheck. Because he has no burden for the truth of God. And the old time religion. Oh God, help us in this hour not to live for this world. There's no water in it. There's no rain in it. There's no fruit in it. The fruit is where God sends the rain. Boy, you take away your family. Now I know I'm preaching to the cream of the crop. Devil get on you too. Hey, people here, don't go to this church. If you where God puts you, you better stay there. He'll take you and your family from the life-staining water of the word of God and leave you in a barren wilderness. Your life cannot produce fruit in a barren wilderness. The very things that a man worships apart from God will destroy him. Or you mark that down. Oh, listen, Elijah. Here in this story, he controls the rain. Then he confronts the people. And then he's going to call on God. Now stay with me right quick. Verse 21. Elijah came unto all the people and said, here's the question of our churches of this hour. How long halt ye between two opinions? If God or if the Lord be God, follow him. If Baal be God, follow him. And the people answered him, not a word. Here's Elijah on Mount Carmel. He's up there, these hellions, 450 prophets of Baal. But God has one man to make sure his message gets told. How long halt ye between two opinions? 3.5 years of drought. And the first question God asked them, how long hold ye between two opinions? When you gonna quit straddling the fence and getting this thing lock, stock, and barrel, hook, line, and sinker? Give God your life. Give God your influence. There's nothing that can be done by straddling the fence. We need to take our stand for God. Here's a new theology now. See if it sounds familiar. Come to Christ. You don't want to go to hell, do you? Come to Christ and get you a drink of Jesus. And when you leave here, don't get drunk too often, you know. When you get home, make sure you get your yard cleaned up and make sure that you eat good and rest good. And boy, make sure you keep all them hobbies up now. Make sure you take all them vacations you need, you know. And if you get any time, come back down to the church and let us see you. That's where we are. Our churches are full of people that are halting between two opinions. Never bowed to the Lordship of Christ. No heart commitment. No dedication to the faith. It's time if we're going to hear the sound of the abundance of rain. The first thing, make up your mind. If it high lifts the devil, I'm going to go with God no matter what. If Baal's God following, I mean, if Jesus isn't worth following, quit saying you belong to him. If you're going to do it half-hearted, in and out, up and down, off and on, cold and hot, I doubt you know God. That ain't the one saved me. The one saved me, Keith Scruggs, has got a commitment on me and a demand on me. I can't do this thing like I want to. I can't flitter in here and out when I want to. I can't tithe when I feel like it. I can't pray if I feel like it. Well, there's a demand. I'm telling you, praise God for that fire that God puts within us, that moves us to God. People are so wishy-washy, they don't even know where they're at. You know why? Here's why. They've been raised around people that's halted between two opinions their whole life.
Yeah, you're right. You're telling
it. I was showing some of these ladies, wanted to see the picture. Some of those old warriors, they're all in heaven now, every one of them. They're all gone. That back Percy Ray, that he built Camp Zion on their backs. Men and women, full of God and faith, that had a prayer life like a preacher, that read books and prayed, and God was their life. He was everything to them. The Lord was the lover of their soul. Where are those people now? I mean, there ain't no doubt in my mind. God's raising up some in this church, and I want to be careful to thank him for it. I'm talking about in general. How many people do you know sold out to God, lock, stock, and barrel, hook, line, and sinker, that made hay just like you give Christ your heart, and he saves you? If you're ever going to amount to anything, there's got to be that day you give it all to him.
Amen.
Jesus said in Revelation 3:15, I know thy works. He said, and that's the problem. I know thy works. Thou art neither cold and hot. I would thou were cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm, I'll spew thee out of my mouth.
Amen.
He said, instead of straddling the fence, why don't you just get stone cold? I'd respect you more. That's what Christ said.
Amen.
I'd respect you more if you're just cold as ice. If you ain't going to be hot as a firecracker or a stick of dynamite. He said, it repulses me of the lukewarmness of people. That's what Christ said. Oh, folks, we got to have the fire. We got to have the water. And it's going to take people that's made their mind up. They're going to serve God.
Amen.
Now he goes on here. 3.5 years. I mean, what's it going to take to wake this crowd up? You know what's wrong with them? They're scared to death. Brother Max, I don't blame them. If you ain't full of fire, Brother Keith, you're not standing about that against that witch up there at the palace either. She'll kill you. Word gets out, you tell anybody about God, it's like you're a bunch of communists in the 50s and 60s. Or if you give a tract to an old person, they sort of slap you on the wrist. But if you give a tract or a Bible to a young person, it's 14 years in Siberia, hard labor. Because the communists said, when the old people die, Jesus will die. But they spread it to the younger generation. Folks, listen to me. Let's be men and women of God.
Amen.
Our children ought to grow up. And once in a while, that unexplainable, indescribable, all over this feeling comes on them in the house where daddy's a praying, her mama's a praying. And I know my mama and my daddy are sold out to God. I see the fire burning in their heart. But now watch this. If Baal be God, follow him. And here we see the people answered him not a word. So Elijah thinks, this had been days. They say it would take probably 4 days, 3 days, 2, 3, 4 days to go get the word out in all the coast of Israel. Probably 10 days for everybody to come. And you know this drew a crowd from everywhere. Mount Carmel is big enough to hold probably hundreds of thousands of people. And so they're up there. Elijah standing there all alone. For God, he looks around at that crowd. He says, Lord, surely there's one. And they don't come forward. He's waiting on a testimony. He's waiting on somebody to take a stand for God. That's one day you shouldn't have to be felt led to do it. And they should have just stepped up anyhow. You don't always do that in a testimony service. You won't feel led of God. I understand that. But God said, I've left me 7,000 in Israel. Oh, the knees which have not bowed unto Baal, every mouth which have not kissed him. Thank God there's still some kissing on the Lamb of God and not on Baal, even in this hour. Boy, in that great congregation that day, we see that these Baal worshipers are in the heat of the battle. Brother Mark Dooley, can you imagine? Brother Jeff, can you imagine what it would have done? Dan, if it just had one of you. I know you wouldn't have kept your mouth shut. No. I guarantee you he'd have jumped up.
Amen.
That's right. He'd just done it, praise God, to might get everybody upset, probably wouldn't have done it.
Amen.
What would it have done to Elijah? If just one person in that crowd would have run toward the front and said, Elijah, I want you to know, praise God, I'm with you. I'm with you. I'm with the God of Israel. I'm not going to stand here and be a spectator anymore. I'm going to get involved. I'm with you. Hey, you put your life on the line. To stand for God. I might not can do much, but I can stand with you.
Yeah.
I can stand up with you. I can let folks know, hey, that's God's man. That's Elijah. He's a preaching the truth. I can help you a little bit and encourage you. I'm going to stand up and let this crowd know whose side I'm on.
Amen.
I think about Elijah there. He thinks he don't have anybody. I think of all these folks God's given me, it humbles me. How folks you know's a pulling for you. Why halt you between two opinions? I've done that long enough. I'm ashamed of myself. Oh, what a blessing. You say, boy, Elijah's full of God. Watch this now, watch this. He was full of boldness. But when discouragement hit him, he run from Jezebel. If he just had one duck, if one old woman would have got to shout, Praise God. They shouted back then too, read your Bible.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. They had never celebration like King David bringing in that ark. But after the Red Sea victory, old Miriam got out her tambourine and led the women as a shouting all over that wilderness. Yes, sir. Boy, that's a praising God. Man, they got full of God and glory. Wouldn't have been something if somebody back there said Elijah. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I'm with you. I'm staying. Oh, it might have kept Elijah out from under the juniper tree. 1 Kings 18:22. Then said Elijah to the people, "Amen, I only remain a prophet of the Lord. Baal's prophets are 450 men. Why, praise God, Elijah's worth more than 10 million of that crowd. Because he's got God standing with him. Boy, don't you feel sorry for them prophets of Baal? It's poor little old Goliath going against David. Poor little old Goliath, 10 foot tall, and David, a little old stripping up a boy. Poor little midget Goliath. Poor little idiot, don't know. He ain't fighting David. He's fighting God. That's what Elijah knew. He wasn't going in his name. He is going in the name of the Lord. He had something to say. Had the authority of heaven behind him. Boy, that's what I'm talking about fire. I'm talking about praise God. What of our deacons? What of our Sunday school teachers? What of our men and women that crawl under Calvary somewhere? Had enough God on them. Having God's man. Yes, a laboring in the word. Sick it on him. Have the glory and the power. Now pray, God, get on him. God, fill him. God, use him.
Amen. Glory to God.
Then Elijah here, he's talking about, he said, get two bullocks. He said, choose you one. Because guess what? I'm not using yours. That's right. Amen. That's the unholy one. Yeah. He's going to use one that represents Christ. Verse 24, call you on the name of your gods. I'll call on the name of the Lord. And the God that answered by fire, not false fire, not wild fire. Fire. And there's a big difference. I'll tell you something. It's a bunch in our day having these big rock and roll concerts in church. Everybody's swaying, swapping wives, men kissing men.
Yeah.
I ain't talking about the Holy Ghost. Bunch of sodomites come in there just as comfortable if that's down at the gay bar in the house of God. I tell you, that ain't God. Hey, the glory of God is holy and it's pure. And the fire of God will burn you up. It'll consume you. Oh, that sinner is going to move out the door or move to God when the fire falls. That's what we need in this hour. There's a lot of talk about God and Christ in this nation. Hey, just so few people know him. They don't know the God because there ain't no fire on them. That's right. In Luke 12:49, I'm come to send fire on the earth. What will I if it's already be kindled? The God that answers by fire, he answers by fire in the matter of sin. In the Old Testament, when Pharaoh rebelled, what did God do? The fire run on the ground. And every man and every animal that's out in the field, God burned them up. God answers by fire in the matter of sin. Numbers 11, the people are murmuring and complaining. And the fire of the Lord burned among them and consumed them in the uttermost part of the camp. And Numbers 21, the people are discouraged because of the way they spake against God. They spake against Moses, and God sent fiery serpents among them. In Joshua 7, Achan stole that. That was accursed. You're spending God ties on yourself. You're spending that. That's cursed. And why do I keep getting on that? I don't really preach on time. Cursed. And God, 36 of the Israelites got killed. That's 36 daddies never come home. 36 husbands never came home. The cause Achan had put his slimy hands on the accursed thing. And God revealed him. We need revival to reveal the hindrances in our churches and to get right, get out, or visit the graveyard.
Yes, sir.
Right, brother. Right.
You're right.
Boy, they found out who Achan was. Boy, the man of God said, bring him over here. Said, boy, give glory to God. Oh, his knees got to buckling. Boy, I got to crying. And he confessed. He might as well. God done knows what he's done. And Joshua says, go get his wife. Go get those children. And they say, Daddy, what's happening?
Yeah.
He said, be sure my sin has found me out. And the wages of sin is death. All of Israel stoned him. And they burned their bodies. Oh, with fire. That's what God thinks of sin. God answers by fire in the area of sin. When Jesus comes in flaming fire, he's coming revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and obey not the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and the glory of his power. Brother David, the question's this. Why does God give us those? Aren't you glad you're in the day of grace, by the way?
Amen.
Why did God give us those illustrations? So you'll know what God thinks about sin. So you'll know God's serious. I'll tell you how serious he is about sin. He said, depart from me in everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. The answer of God, never lost sinner. He answers by fire, the judgment of fire. What a tragedy. When Jesus Christ sits on the throne, his eyes are as a flame of fire. God answers by fire in the area of salvation. Luke 12:49, I'm come to send fire on the earth. What will I if it be already kindled? I have a baptism to be baptized with. And I am I strengthened till it be accomplished. That word straight means to press together, to hold together under constraint. He's foretelling of the wrath of God that's going to sweep over his soul. It's all pictured in Genesis 22. Abraham, a picture of God the Father, leads his son. The Bible calls him his only begotten son. And he leads him up to Mount Moriah, a type, a picture of Mount Calvary.
Right.
And he takes the knife in order to shed the blood. And in chapter 22, verse 6 of Genesis, he took the fire in his hand. Any time in the Bible where the sacrifice of the life was taken, the blood was gathered. And then the fire fell on the sacrifice on the cross. God the Father answered by fire. It wasn't enough that Christ shed his blood. The wages of sin is hell fire. And Christ, the fire, God answered by fire on Mount Calvary and baptized Christ's soul for 3 hours in the fires of the wrath of God. And it swept over his soul that you and I might be delivered. Oh, I think about this illustration, and it blesses me. Back in the days of the Old West, fire terrified the travelers on the Oregon Trail, Santa Fe Trail, those other trails. Because they got out on the prairie, off in the distance, they'd see a fire, and it's coming at them. Didn't have no way to stop it. It's so dry in the summer that if lightning struck that ground and set that grass on fire, it'd go for miles and miles and miles. What the settlers learned to do was to burn off a patch of grass where they were. And when that big fire got to coming down the road, got to coming at the wife and the husband and the children, they stood where the fire had already burned out a place. I'm telling you, I'm in Christ where the fire has already burned him. And thank God, when the fire of hell and the lake of fire comes down my road consuming me, thank God I'm in that spot that's already been burned because of Christ who enters by fire. What a God we serve. God answers by fire in the area of sin, the area of salvation, last of all, the area of surrender. He answers by fire. Now, don't you get discouraged, child of God. You're on a long process. This isn't no one-night stand with God. It's a lifestyle. Getting on that altar and becoming a living sacrifice is not a one-day thing. It's a life's job to keep it on the altar. But the fire falls on the sacrifice that is accepted by the Lord. In the days of Moses, he's been down in Egypt. He's got all the wisdom of Egypt. God sends him to the backside of the desert. He's 80 years old, according to Acts 7. That means if Acts 7 says he's 80, guess what? He's 80. He's out there in the desert, backside of the desert. There's little old dried up bushes everywhere. They're out there by the hundreds and hundreds. But he sees one that's on fire. And he says, he goes over to the side to investigate. It was a mystery to him. I guess it would be seeing a bush on fire out there in the middle of that desert and it not being consumed. So Moses goes to investigate. Now listen. Out of all those bushes, Brother Duck, not one caught his eye except the one on fire. That's it. Now, what's that mean? I know it means the children of Israel in the fires of persecution and never being consumed. That ain't what that meant. That's not what that meant to Moses. Even though that was so of slavery, they're down there under Pharaoh's hand and they're not consumed. That's what that means primarily to him. He's seen all those bushes, and they're all the same. And there's only one distinction, and that is one's on fire. And Moses is going to tell God, you got to go get somebody else. I can't do it. And God said, Moses, I'm glad, listen now, 40 years before, he thought it had been the only bush out there. Now after 40 years in the desert, they're everywhere. And Moses sees himself as any other bush. And that's what he had to see. He had to get off that high horse thinking he's somebody and get down to where Brother Cameron is nothing and he can't do it. That's what he told God. You got the wrong man. Here's a man mighty in word and deed that moved the courts of Egypt when he was down there telling God, I'm slow of speech. I don't have articulation ability. He had the greatest ability in all of Egypt. And Moses is making excuses why he can't do it. God said, Moses, it's so good you got down to where you are. You're just any other bush. But when I set you on fire, I'll separate you from every bush in this desert. Moses, that bush is you, and that fire's my glory. That fire's my power. Oh, and God put all that fire on Moses. So much one time God took some off of him, put it on 70 men, and Moses didn't even know God had took any off of him. Thank God, Brother Cameron, they hung up all the God. There's enough for everybody. God put that fire in you. When he saved you, when he revival, to fan that fire. And God, light us up to this world. He's the God that answers by fire. You're not going to catch the eye of this world without God on you. You're just another old hypocrite. That's what they say. You're just another old Baptist that call your names. You just cuss them back. You just like they are. Life's their dirty jokes. Can tell them just like they can. You know what? You ain't on fire. Tell you what, that old bush gets to burning. Some of you in here, you're limited. What you can do, your job situation, you can't help it. And you're praying that God will open this thing up for you. And I pray he does. He will. He will. He did me. But I tell you what, I was working so much I couldn't serve God. God called me to preach. I surrendered. And I was going to die if God didn't do something for me. I can't quit working because I've got to provide for my family. And God hadn't made me full time yet. And I pray God let me wrestle that thing for 3 months. I got so sick of it. I mean, God, I got to go. It was a privilege to go to revival. It was a privilege. I want to be in God's house. I want to be around the people of God. Oh, that's the desire that we need to have. You got to do what you can do while you can do it. I'll tell you right now, you can't stay on fire if you ain't around God's people. God's people's what throws the gas on you. You say, I don't need the church. You know what? People wouldn't know how stupid you were if you wouldn't open your mouth. You don't need the church. I don't guess a drowning man needs a raft either, does he? I don't guess a drowning man needs somebody to rescue him. I don't guess somebody thirsty needs water. I don't guess a hungry man needs food. No, I don't need the church. I don't need that much. Well, don't be a hypocrite, and you be a good child of God. There'll be one less hypocrite in the church. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Ain't that good? Amen. Hey, we got to be around this thing. That's stay on fire. Amen. Oh, God, fire us up for the glory of God.
Amen.
Boy, that sacrifice, here it is. I'm done. Fire will never fall. That sacrifice is on the altar. And that altar, you can't put the sacrifice on the altar until it's rebuilt. He repaired the altar. He repaired his prayer life. The fire of God makes the difference. God will consume him, purify him, cleanse him. He will, even in the end, when that fire falls, watch this. He'll lick up the dust. He'll lick up the stones. He'll lick up everything, the water in the trenches. I'll tell you, when God comes by, thank God, he can get that bitterness out of you, that unforgiveness out of you, all that mess that's defeating us from being on fire.
Amen.
Take it out. He still answers by fire. His word is like a fire and a hammer. Here it is. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, perfect, acceptable will God. Good, acceptable, perfect will of God. I got to have fire, folks. Times like this, and every time, we need a Savior. I got a question for you. Now listen, Brother Rick, this is human nature. God's pulled the water back for 3.5 years. They still haven't repented yet. It's how far they are from God. Even judgment don't bring them to God.
Right.
Brother Max, judgment ain't bringing people to God no more.
Right.
It used to. You're but right. We're so far.
Amen.
Television, the internet, music has so hardened our heart like stone.
Yes, sir. Right.
Judgment don't even bring us back.
Tell it,
right. I'll tell you one thing. When that fire falls, buddy, and you get where God wants you to be, you say, I don't feel it. Don't have to have my, what did Elijah feel like building that altar? He felt like he was tired. Exactly right. Hey, he done all that by faith.
Amen.
He got down and prayed a 69-word prayer. And the fire fell. And when the fire fell, the rain could come. Listen to me now, folks. Here it is. You say, what's the point of all this? Here's the point of all this. Till we repair the altar in prayer, get back in God's word, get our hearts cleaned out, get back on that altar, present our sacrifice to God. And if God don't accept it, crawl off that altar and find out why he won't accept it.
That's good, amen.
Mike, sitting at what you done a while last week about your own testimony, you kept crawling on that altar and God wouldn't accept it, would he? He presented it and he said no. No, sir, he won't. And when that sacrifice gets where God wants it, the fire falls on it. That's what makes the difference. You know why that fire's got to fall? Because the rain can't come first. The rain's revival. The rain's outpouring of the Holy Spirit. The rain is God moving. And God, I tell you what, I think about, I stand in this pulpit, and sometimes I feel so much power. Lord God, I tell you what, tonight's been fire. Tonight's been a firecracker, what I felt in this pulpit before, buddy. I mean power, man. Just to take you to another world at times, just about. Seth got into that yesterday, and he can't explain it. Hallelujah. And Keith, you know what? I preach as hell as hot as I can when God tells me to. Judgment, try to exalt Christ and all that. But Mr. Duke, I tell you what will break them is God's love.
Amen.
You tell an old sinner God hangs them over hell like Seth hung people over hell yesterday or the Holy Ghost did through him, and then that love walked through here.
Amen.
Man, that's what they've been looking for.
That's good.
See, they're in sin so bad, they believe the lie God don't love them. They believe they're too bad and they're too unworthy. But sometimes I forget where I was when God saved me. You know why I didn't? You know why I couldn't trust Christ, Ricky, Reed, before I did? Because I felt so unworthy. I mean, I felt dirty.
Yep.
How can that year old boy feel that dirty?
Buddy, I did. Conviction made me feel lowered down by snake in a wagon's track. Conviction. Now, I've heard the testimony of a lot of y'all. Y'all didn't go through that, buddy, I did. You know why you didn't go through it? You didn't have to. I did.
Right.
I mean, and I'd be want to crawl up in the fetal position when I get around God trying to hide from him. Oh, yeah. When Dr. Ray came to our house when I was 5 years old, he absolutely terrified me. Every time I thought of God, I thought of him wearing that big tin tub hat. That man had so much fear of God on him. I mean, he terrified me. And I thought, Lord, if conviction makes me feel that dirty, how can you love me? Are you getting the connection? When God brings you before the law of God, Brother Mark, you feel lower down Charles Manson and Jeffrey Dahmer's. You said, well, you wasn't that bad. Yeah, I crucified Christ. That's pretty bad. I was bad enough to go to hell. How do you get worse than that?
Right.
I was bad enough it took the blood of Christ to save me. How bad was I? Bad as you can get.
Right.
I couldn't have gotten no worse. I could have sinned more, but I couldn't got any more lost than I was because I had an Adamic nature.
Amen.
Some of y'all need to get a hold of that.
Amen.
You won't strut no more. So God put so much conviction, I was so guilty. But all that day, when they were singing, there is a fountain filled with blood brought from Emmanuel's veins. And my trembling heart that so feared God, I didn't know what to do. But when God showed me Christ, that He's the answer. He loved me. He died for me. I could trust Him because He loved me enough to die for me. Anybody loved me enough to die for me loves me. Now, I didn't process all that then. I do now. All I knowed, I was falling into the fire and Jesus was the escape hatch. That's all I knew. All I knew, God had to have mercy on me or I was in the fire, buddy. Oh, Lord God in heaven. That's what we need, and that's the glory of God. Boy, God comes on the church. Listen, I got to shut up. When I was a kid, my pastor, Brother Mike Hodge, he'd preach a while, Brother Luke. I've told this before. There'd be times I'd walk up from Sunday school, I'd open that door and walk through, and the power of God about knocked me back in the other side of that door. Me just a little kid and felt that. Boy, I knew them days, business is about to pick up. And people would get to loving and romancing Christ. Really romancing Him. Really loving Him. Brother Max, that love, God in waves. God's love come in the church. And boy, old sinners get to cry. God melts them. Hey, son, you so hard-hearted. Lord God, we get so hard-hearted. I tell you, the love of God puts the tears running down your face. Amen. Even when you're lost. I seen a man leave here yesterday. First time I ever seen him. He left here with that wild look in his eyes. I said, I want you to come back. I think I need it. Just no hard sinner. I'll tell you, I don't care how hard they are, the love of Jesus affects a man.
Amen.
My daddy always said, if the Holy Ghost ever really deals with a man, he may not get saved, but he'll never get over it. Yeah. Never. And thank God for that. Man, I ain't even had this thing on, have I? Praise the Lord. Folks, I love you tonight. I'm a candidate for the fire. Got to have it. Nothing's going to work without it. For that fire to fall, can't get in no hurry now. You ain't going to make one of that little trip down here to this altar. We better get this mess out of our mind. Oh, we can run to the altar revival time. Hey, it's a life's process of really getting that fire on you. But God will put enough on you to keep you going. Then He'll put more on you. Then He'll put more on you. Then He'll put more on you. If you're interested, if you want your sin and want Jesus too, you can forget it. Just go on and follow Baal. You like your HBO? Go on and follow Baal. That's what you are. You want your rock and country music? Just go on and follow Baal. Hey, you want to dress seductive? Go on and follow Baal. But if God be God, follow God. If Christ is what we say He is, if He died for us, live for Him, follow Him, love Him. Amen. Give your life to Him.
Yes. You'll be glad you did. Amen. Let's bow our heads. He's the God that answers by fire. Some of y'all in here, you've been resisting God and grieving the Holy Ghost this whole service. I felt it. There ain't no sense in that. Tell you something. You won't keep doing that. God will put an end to that stuff. It's serious business. It's serious business. Man, we've got to have God. Our people's got to have God. We've got to be in spiritual unity. We've got to be in one mind and one accord. We've got to be pulling the same direction. We've got to be pulling for each other. Oh, we need the fire. Need the glory. Need the power. Need to yield. Submit to God's way. God's will. Now, Father, tonight in Jesus' name, we've done the best we know how to do. I thank You for the blood of Christ and the power of God.
Lord, you know the need of the hour. God, you know the need of our heart. God, we stand here tonight. And God, we thank you, Lord, that you're God. And you got all power. God, baptize this place in the power of the Holy Ghost. Back Satan off of us. Do for us, God, what needs to be done. God, I don't want to straddle the fence. I don't want to serve you halfway. I've done enough of that. Help me to go all the way. Love you, serve you, magnify you, glorify you.